so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, out for a run, walking the dog, taking a shower, whatever it is, whether you're watching the show on YouTube, listening in your headphones, however you're enjoying the show, I'm just glad that you are. I'm John Corrales. I'm the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, a Monday through Friday podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, I'm going to say podcast every sentence. And I cover the Boston Celtics for the Boston Sports Journal. And I wrote this book right here, Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can now buy wherever books are sold or on my personal website, johncorrales.com. Signed copy, $30. It's a great deal. Mailbag day. Mailbag day. I asked you for questions. I got a bunch of them. And I'm going to answer them all here for the next 30 minutes. Including questions about signing former Spurs, who might stay and who might go, some talk about Romeo Langford as point guard, and a bunch of other things. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So let's kick it off with Rita at Smiley Jogger on Twitter. She says, hi, John. Hi, Rita. I believe it's important for the coach to be able to make adjustments during playoff series and each individual playoff game. What do we know about Udoka's capability to do this? The answer is nothing. We don't know a thing about his ability to adjust. And that's going to be one of the things that we learn on the fly because he's a first-time head coach. And if there's anything that I can tell you, he's learned from one of the best in Greg Popovich. He's learned from a guy who maybe has struggled a little bit with that in Brett Brown. And, you know, Steve Nash had some decent adjustments this playoff run. Can't say that there's much of an adjustment other than play your stars more, but, you know, they handle themselves well. So I think he's gotten to see from all those three stops what adjustments mean and what a successful adjustment is, especially the time in San Antonio. I think that's really important. I think that he can be good at it if he's open to learning and seeing what is out there and listening to the head coaches, I mean, the assistant coaches that he has on his staff. That's going to be one of the keys for him. It's putting a staff together that can come up with the ideas and say, when there is a playoff series, lean on those coaches. Because it's not just him. It's an entire staff thing. And leaning on those coaches to say, okay, what do we got? What do we see? And coming up with a plan. So basically, that's a long way for me to say. We'll see. King Kahuna at Kona King Kahuna. Is Tristan Thompson being left out of mentions during Celtics news conferences and Tristan not congratulating the new coach or president a sign that he is gone and will be traded soon? No. It's not a sign of anything other than he just didn't do it. I mean, I don't think we like to read into social media stuff. And now look, maybe it is. I mean, I don't take it as a sign, but then again, I'm an old guy and I don't read into stuff like that. They're younger people and maybe guys in their 20s and 30 say, hey, watch this. Watch me tweak these guys by not saying things on social media. I will acknowledge that. I don't participate in that kind of stuff, but maybe. So I shouldn't just say no out of hand. Maybe there's something to that. But I don't think outwardly, like the Celtics not mentioning him in the news conferences, they didn't mention a lot of guys. They didn't mention Romeo Langford or Aaron Nesmith or Peyton Pritchard or any of those guys. Like, you know, they kind of stuck to the pillars, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, guys like that. So I'm not reading too much into that. However, I will say that a Tristan Thompson trade makes absolute perfect sense. So there may be something to him just being like, look, I'm not going to go overboard on social media, not because I want to go or I expect to be traded, but also I kind of see the writing on the wall. So I'm just not going to, I'm not going to say anything just in case. There could be some of that going on. And so I don't know if they're actively trying to trade Tristan Thompson or if they're going to wait and see what materializes for Tristan Thompson. But I think a Tristan Thompson trade is obvious. And so at Jacob McDonald 39 asks, do you have to trade Tristan Thompson in order to use the mid-level exception again? This is a very common question when, you know, because we talk about hard caps and there are certain contractual things that we experienced with Kyrie Irving. When Kyrie Irving was here and he was on a Rose Rule contract, there were rules that didn't allow for the Celtics to go trade for Anthony Davis midseason. That's why that whole Anthony Davis thing was a big mess. So it's very easy to get confused in general about the NBA's collective bargaining agreement. It's very easy to get confused about certain contractual things in particular. The mid-level exception can be given out every year, and it just matters which one you hand out that triggers the hard cap or whether you can keep on spending. So the Celtics gave Tristan Thompson the mid-level exception, the full mid-level exception last season, which hard capped them for last season. If he plays this season, they're not hard capped again. They're not hard capped for the duration of his contract, just the first year of his contract. And then they can turn around and give out the full mid-level again if they want and get hard capped for the first year of that. And that's part of the problem that I've been talking about. But they could use what's called the taxpayer mid-level, which is somewhere a little bit more than half of the full mid-level. Full is like $9.6 million. This one is going to be like $5.6 million, I think. So if they hand out that, then they're not hard capped and they can keep on spending and go above that hard cap line. There's no limitation there. It's just taxes are the limitation. So they can give out the mid-level, some form of it, every single season, next year, year after. It doesn't matter. Jacob continues, thoughts on trading for DeLon Wright, Tristan Thompson, and something else. Kings have three main guards and are now low on bigs. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that Tristan Thompson fits the mold of what Sacramento was looking for. And also, they made a move. They gave up Corey Joseph and 2 second rounders last year to get DeLon Wright. Like, I think they actively wanted DeLon Wright. And they've got one more year of him, and he makes $8.5 million. So $8.5 million. They could just do a straight swap, but I don't think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to take a good look at Wright. And if they do give him up, I think they're going to want a little bit more than Tristan Thompson. They're going to want something a little bit different than Tristan Thompson. So Wright idea, maybe not him in particular, but if there is a guard out there, some team, maybe, hey, look, I say that now, but maybe after the draft, maybe after the summer, maybe the Celtics carry Tristan Thompson into the season and things shake out a little differently in Sacramento. I'm not saying no, never, but right now, I just look at it as Sacramento gave up actual assets to acquire him. And so I don't think DeLon Wright is somebody that they're actively trying to trade. All that said, he didn't have the best season, and they're looking for him to be more aggressive out there in Sacramento. So maybe there's a little bit of a wiggle room. When I mention when guys can be traded, I talk about December a lot. Guys who are signed over the summer, there's a 2-month waiting period after they sign before they can get aggregated in trades. So the Celtics sign somebody on July 15th. Normally, I don't know how it's going to work exactly with this truncated offseason, but normally they sign somebody on July 15th. It's not 2 months. It's however many months. There's a waiting period. And it's usually in December. Was it 6 months? Maybe whatever it is. I don't know. There's a waiting period. And in the middle of December, you start hearing a lot of teams, a lot of reporters talk about, okay, now the restrictions are lifted. Somewhere in that December timeframe, guys that you sign can turn around and be traded, aggregated in multiplayer trades. You can trade that player by himself, but that's not how a lot of trades work. So we'll see how the offseason goes when it comes to somebody like DeLon Wright. And then he asks Patty Mills for the mid-level exception. And I'm going to lump that in with J-Town, who asks, do you think having Spurs assistants in Udoka and Hardy and gives the C's a good chance at signing a former Spur? Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, Danny Green are all free agents. So I'm going to say that, yeah, Will Hardy is an assistant coach that was part of the Spurs. That Spurs, I talked to Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs, loves Hardy. He was in line as one of the people that could have succeeded Greg Popovich. He was discussed in that way over there. So having him and having Udoka as two Spurs can be an absolute tiebreaker. Absolutely. So if Patty Mills, now I don't know what the market for Patty Mills is going to be. I'm looking at now he made a fair amount last year. He made $13.5 million. He's not going to make that this offseason. He is going to turn 33 in August. So a little more than a month from now, he's going to turn 33. So he's on the back end, but productive. And on some nights, looking like his old international self, Olympic Patty Mills, decent numbers for the Spurs. Still shot 37.5% this past season, so from three. So can be a decent help for some teams. Is he? What's his market? And your market is whatever somebody's going to pay for you. So can he get more than $5.5 million? If not, then yeah, Patty Mills for the MLE, that could work. Only problem is he's older and he's small. And that's going to be a problem because your backup guards then become Patty Mills and Peyton Pritchard, 6'1", 6 feet tall. Marcus Smart's kind of big. He's got size, but that's it. You're still small in the backcourt. If they don't care, then fine. They can have, maybe if they can rely on Nesmith and Pritchard and Langford for defense late in games, then sure. And you can say, hey, Patty's going to come in for offense. But they can certainly, if one of these, I don't think Rudy Gay, I don't know what Danny Green's going to be worth. And also Danny Green's starting to fall off a little bit. But to answer the question from J-Town, yes, having Spurs assistants on the bench as a head coach and one of them as an assistant coach, if Patty Mills is trying to weigh his options and figure out. Now, of course, if, say, the Brooklyn Nets come calling and say, hey, Patty, we need your shooting, he might look at that and be like, you know what? Sorry, Ime. Sorry, Will. We're I got to go with the possibility for a ring over here. Maybe that's something that he wants. That certainly could happen. But if he's trying to break a tie and the Celtics are in on him, and that's one of the teams that he's trying to break a tie, then yeah, having a team, having coaches that you're comfortable with, having a situation, you know what that culture is going to be. Plus they have great players here already. You kind of get it. And look, the Celtics and the Spurs have a lot in common. There's obviously the championship history is longer and more vast in Boston, but there's a significant championship history in San Antonio. And I think San Antonio is a team that most mimics the Boston Celtics. The Lakers are the biggest rival, but the Spurs culture and all of that, I think, very compatible with the Celtics. So I think it's a very seamless transition. If he's trying to break a tie, that's having those guys here would certainly help. All right, going to come back with more questions after I tell you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Go check it out. Basketball, soccer, baseball, everything, any Stanley Cup playoffs, it's all there, international sports, everything there at BetOnline. So go use your laptop, use your mobile device, whatever. Create a free account, sign up, and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That will get you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So sign up, create a username, password, use a promo code LOCKEDON, deposit $200, you get a $100 welcome bonus. That's how this works. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the game with BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. The Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo, now one win away from joining the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. They beat the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young in Game 5 in Milwaukee. So, one more win, and it's Bucks-Suns in the NBA Finals. I think if you go back and you listen to the dual podcast between me and the Anything's Potable guys, Jay King, Sam Packard on The Athletic, when we picked every game of the playoffs, I said, Bucks win the championship. I should have put that money on a bet online. I should have laid some money down on that. But all right, back to the questions at Bailey Tonkinson, who asks, considering this team stays the same next year and there are some around the edge tweaks, what is the ceiling slash expectations for next season? Also, assuming Tatum is a first slash second all NBA team guy and Brown is an all-star. Well, if Tatum is a first team all NBA guy, then he's an MVP candidate. And if Jaylen Brown is an all-star, then basically what you have is sort of a Milwaukee Bucks-ish team. And that puts them in the mix, as Brad Stevens said. You just got to be in the mix, and then you see how things go. So if Tatum is first-team All-NBA, yeah, that's MVP candidate. There's a lot of amazing forwards in the NBA. So if Tatum is one of the two best forwards in the NBA next season, then the Celtics are going to be really damn good because he will raise everybody else's game. And then if Brown, on top of that, is an all-star, look, Brooklyn's going to go in as the favorites. They still have all that talent. Unless something catastrophic happens this offseason, but I think they have the edge for sure. Who knows what's going to happen with Philly? Boston could supplant Philly in this triumvirate at the top of the standings. And then Milwaukee. If Milwaukee wins the championship, is there a hangover? Is there the NBA Finals, NBA Championship hangover where some guys relax and go, oh, finally we got our ring, and then they kind of like slip a little bit next year? Certainly possible. So where does that put Boston in the East? Second. Does another team ascend a little bit? Third. But in this scenario that Bailey is suggesting, regardless of how you build things out, with those two being that good, that means Marcus Smart's going to be better. That means the guys off the bench are going to be better. I think they raise the games. You know, Horford plays a big role in that, and Robert Williams plays a big role in that. Everybody's games get lifted. In that scenario, that's a team that could make the NBA Finals. That's a team that could at least make the conference finals and would be in a, you know, have a real chance. They would have a real chance. And it might just come down to health and a little bit of luck to figure out who moves past. Like we saw in the playoffs this year, there's obviously injury luck that's involved. If the Celtics can stay healthy and have a healthy playoff run, that's a good team. That's a really good team. Akash asks, how much of Jaylen Brown taking his game to the next level, i.e. all-star starter slash all-NBA, relies on defense? He's good on ball, but below average off the ball. And since he came into the league as a high defensive ceiling guy, I bet there's a level to unlock there. Certainly, if he can become an even higher level defender, then people will start talking about him in, you know, look, if you're talking about all-star starter, an all-NBA guy, if he gets to that level, then you're talking about him in Kawhi terms. Because Kawhi's the standard bearer of the great offensive player that's also a great defensive player, and that raises his game. Now, I would say he'd be Kawhi light in this scenario, but if he, again, under the parameters of this question, if he's going to be an all-star starter or all-NBA guy, then yeah, I think his defense has to be a part of it. He can't be like a turnstile. And if he goes out there and plays like the level of defense, even if he's at this level of defense and he raises his game a little bit offensively and is averaging 24, 25 a game and efficiently, then yeah, I think he's in a good spot. If he raises his defense to another level, and especially the flashy defensive stuff, like when we're talking about voting into All-Star, voting into All-NBA, it's the flashy stuff. It's the steals that lead to dunks. It's the steals that are, you know, that trigger things. It's the blocks. It's, you know, those obvious things that everybody can see, be like, whoa. So that will be a huge part of it. And I will say, if he can raise his defensive level, then he could, if he's not an all-star starter, which it's tough, but he could be like a no-brainer kind of all-star, just regular all-star kind of reserve, which people don't question whether you're a starter. They just say 10-time all-star and that's it. Mike Ruiz at The Real Mike Ruiz on Twitter asks, do you believe Romeo Langford can grow into a viable ball handler for this team? Actually, he's got a few questions. Let's start with that. We'll rifle through them. Romeo, in his very brief stint, showed some signs of like, oh yeah, I can see the instincts there. I can see how he reads the floor. He showed signs of like, okay, yeah, I can see him potentially being a future, maybe not point guard, but ball handler, kind of in the Jaylen Brown mode. Like, he's not bringing the ball up, but when the ball swings to him and he runs a pick and roll, it can work and he can run it. I think that's where I see Romeo the most. I don't think he's going to be a point guard, but maybe he'll surprise. And, but that's where I see Romeo the most. He does have a long way to go. If he wants to hone those skills, that's going to be his focus for the next two or three off seasons, because he does have a long way to go, but the instincts are certainly there. Another question. Are there any realistic backup point guard options in free agency this year? I'm going to hammer this point home. Free agent backup point guards are going to be your Chris Dunn's, TJ McConnell types. Chris Dunn, I think he's got a player option with Atlanta. If he is, you know, looking for a new opportunity, big defensive minded guy, if he can stay healthy, then they have a use for him. But there are realistic guys, but they're not like, when you say backup point guards, not like a guy that you can throw out there for 30 minutes. And if he becomes your starter, it's like, maybe not the best, but stopgap guy, maybe. But they're not great options. And then he asks, are there any realistic trade options and what would it take? Would Colin Sexton or Malik Monk fit? First of all, I don't think Monk is going anywhere. Sexton might, but the reason why the Cavs would give up Sexton is because they don't want to pay him. And I don't know that the Celtics are looking to pay Colin Sexton to be their third guy next to Tatum and Brown. Like, I just don't see that. The realistic trade options this summer are the guys that I've been talking about. You know, I mentioned JaMychal Green yesterday as a possible trade option. Those guys, you know, the mid-level type of forwards or guards that could fit into one of the trade exceptions, or that could maybe be returned in a Tristan Thompson trade, but nothing huge. I don't think the Celtics make a huge splash this summer. Basically, it's figure out Evan Fournier, figure out what to do with Tristan Thompson, maybe pick up a mid-level guy, and maybe you get somebody with the Hayward traded player exception. Those are your moves. Take that into the regular season, and then between December and February or March, whenever the trade deadline falls, that's when you determine, okay, what works, what doesn't, and then you come back with another move. You shuffle things, you go for a different kind of trade, whatever, but don't go too, I don't think there's any big free agent sign. I don't think there's any big splashy trade this summer. I'm going to wrap up with even more questions, including how much I would pay Robert Williams and Marcus Smart. I'm going to do that after I tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever, ever. I've had a lot of protein bars in my life, and this is true. They have a bunch of great flavors with different flavor profiles. Fruity, they have coconut, they have chocolate, they have peanut butter, like they have a bunch of different ones. No matter what type of thing you like, it's there. If you've got a nut allergy, no problem. If you're on a keto diet, no problem. And no matter what, you're going to get something like 17, 18 grams of protein, calories in the 130 to 180 range, so nothing crazy, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. Like that's basically what you're getting. Go to builtbar.com and just check it out. Cruise through, and I bet you're going to see something that you like. If you want to try something, get one of the mixed boxes. Use the promo code LOCK15. You're going to get 15% off at builtbar.com. Figure out what flavor you like. Go back. Use the promo code again, LOCK15, for 15% off at builtbar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The best damn NBA draft coverage is going to be all over the Locked On Podcast Network. It's going to start July 19th with the week-long Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. We've got the best analysts, Chad Ford, Brian Scalabrine, Ryan McDonough, all week long, our local experts, hosts from every show, run through a full mock draft with picks and trades and all of that stuff. And Scal and Ryan McDonough and Chad Ford are going to analyze all of the moves as if it was real, and we'll see what happens. So search for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts and music and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Let's get back to the questions. Ben Anderson asks, if you're GM Corrales, which, side note, bad idea, horrible idea, but I'm answering the question. So he says, if you extend Time Lord and Smart, what's the highest point that you go with each of them before you say, nah, I can't, and what amount do you think they will actually get? So there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot of different avenues to go. The problem is there's this, the free agency a couple of years from now. So who do you lock up? How do you lock them up? Let's just say, sticking to this, I want to extend Robert Williams and Marcus Smart, and that they are going to be open to the extension. I'm throwing out the whatever other limitations are out there. So I'm looking at Marcus Smart, and I think for everything that he does, he's making $14.3 million next season. I think that's not far off from what his actual value is. I think the highest I would go is a starting point of like 16 or 17. And, you know, 3 or 4 years. But I think, so what's that work out to be? If I say 3 years of Marcus Smart at starting at, let's say 16, so that's 30, that would be 50, somewhere between 50 and 60. Yeah. I would say somewhere around 55 million. 3 years, 55, it's somewhere in that range. That's probably the fair market value for Marcus Smart. So as an unrestricted free agent, I think that's somewhere around where he would get. That's somewhere where I would, what I would offer. And look, maybe at some point he's going to make $20 million, but by the time he does, the salary cap's going to go up. And it sounds like a lot right now, like $20 million for Marcus Smart. I can hear some of you say $20 million for Marcus Smart. What are you, nuts? By that time, the $20 million for Marcus Smart is going to be like what $14 million is now, or what $12 million used to be. It's the salary cap just keeps going up and up and up. And eventually, we're going to look at $20 million deals like nothing. Like Jason Tatum in a couple of years is going to be making almost $35 million. So Jason Tatum making $15 million more, or a little bit more than that, than Marcus Smart is kind of right. It's more like percentages of the cap. And so it's a little on the high end, but I think that's where I'd go with Smart. Robert Williams right now, if I'm trying to lock him up now, I'm trying to buy low. I'm going to go 4 years, somewhere around 40. I can go up to like 45. Five at the absolute max, but somewhere in that range, 4 years, somewhere around $10 million per, maybe start him next season at nine, and then you give him the raises or something like that. And it kind of, you know, works itself out that way. If he goes for the 4 years, this is the question of, does he go for the, hey, 4 years with my injury history, maybe I don't feel great about it. I want to take the 40 something million dollars guaranteed. And yeah, I'll sign that. Or maybe he wants to go 2 years and say, fine, I'll take 2 years at $25 million and you lock him up at a reasonable number. And then 2 years from now, he wants to see what his market is. But I don't want to go too crazy with Robert Williams. I don't want to invest too much money in my center spot. If you start paying your center too much money, I love what Robert Williams does. And this is going to be a problem that we have to discuss somewhere down the road. What's the breaking point with Robert Williams? $10 million per in that range is kind of like the most you should probably be paying your center. And so what's the rest of the league going to do? Is some team in, you know, 2-3 years, assuming an extension is signed, is some team going to come in and be like, look, we love what you're doing. We want you with our young guys. We're going to pay you a little bit more. Somebody might do that and he's going to go away and that's going to suck. But center spot right now is kind of, I hate to use the term disposable, but you can get centers that fill gaps and work. And there's maybe that changes over the course of time. But right now, I don't want to spend too much money on my center spot. So that's I think, what they should get. And then from there, maybe some team will come in and overpay. At GF Morris says, what three players on entry-level contracts have ensured that they're leaving town? Well, I mean, we can put Carson Edwards in there because I think he's gone. You can easily move him for, you know, you can move him. I think he's gone. The obvious answers are Taco Fall and Tremont Waters, but they're two-way guys. The other guys on the entry level, the rookie contracts, I know you probably want me to say Grant Williams, but he's not gone. Neesmith is and Romeo Langford are on rookie contracts. They're not gone. They could be big parts of next year's team. You have to see what they have. Unless you surprise everybody and make a gigantic deal this summer and they are included, I don't think that's going to happen. So the only guy on an actual rookie contract that's, I think, going to go this summer is Carson Edwards. Everyone else on the rookie contracts, you got Robert Williams, Aaron Neesmith, Romeo Langford, Peyton Pritchard. Those guys are all staying. So the only other guys that will go are Taco and Tremont. Because you can't sign them to another two-way contract, then I don't think they've earned guaranteed spots. So Taco's going to have to continue his development elsewhere. So Sorry, Taco. I mean, there's a way. There's a way for the Celtics to not offer him the qualifying offer, because he would now is a restricted free agent. You know, they make him an unrestricted free agent. Then they sign him to the, you know, it was an Exhibit 10 contract. They cut him during camp, and then they put him in the G League, and he just goes and plays for the former Red Claws, now Portland, Maine, whatever, Celtics, the Maine Celtics. And I, first of all, let me just say as an aside, I hate that, because I used to be able to say, go play for the Red Claws. Now I have to say, go play for Maine or the Maine Celtics. Used to be a very easy distinction. Now it's gone. I hate that. Sorry. That was just an aside. Had to say that. They could bring Taco back in a way, but that they would have to sign him out of the G League. So there's a way that he wears a pseudo Celtics uniform and plays for Maine, but that's still not an NBA contract. So we'll see what they do with him. That's the best answer I can give you. And then finally, Ricardo Arujo, at Ricardo A1618. Do you think it's possible to replicate the Spurs' beautiful game in today's NBA, or is the game too reliant on superstars, pace, and three-point shooting now? And he says, hello from Portugal. So, hello, Portugal. I got to go to Portugal someday. Yeah, it's possible to replicate that. You just got to get the right people. You got to get the right people to buy into it. The three-point, first of all, pace is a huge part of what the Spurs did. They played with tremendous pace in that beautiful game, that 2014. They played with great pace, both up and down the floor and as they move the ball around. All that offense is cutting and ball movement. That's really all it is. It's nothing special necessarily. I mean, there are special elements to it. I mean, there are plays within that, you know, a variety of screening and actions and stuff like that. I'm not saying I'm not trying to make it overly simple, but at the heart of it, it's a willingness to give up the ball, move yourself, and make cuts, make the proper cuts at the proper time, read and react, all of that stuff. All of the stuff that Brad Stevens has been trying to get guys to do. Now, you got to just make sure that everybody has bought into it 100%. It's tough. Jason Tatum doesn't make that entirely. I don't want to put this on Tatum, because Tatum's game involves some isolation, and isolation is not necessarily part of that beautiful game. But also, we romanticize the pass, and there is some of that in there. There are plenty of Tim Duncan post-ups. There's plenty of, it's not all entirely. It wasn't 48 minutes of gorgeous ball movement and all of that stuff. So all I'm going to say is it's possible. Now, maybe some of the shots that there are taken now versus 2014, even in the course of 7 years, the three-point shot has become so big that some of the shots that end up coming out of it end up being more three-pointers. But the hierarchy of shots that a team is trying to get is still layups, free throws, three-pointers. That's still the order. So if it produces backdoor cuts for layups and drives for layups and drive and kicks, then that's fine. And if they end up taking more three-pointers now, that's a byproduct of today. That's fine. But really, the number one thing, the absolute first thing, is buy-in. You have to buy in. Everybody on the team has to be willing to do it, which may involve some personal sacrifice here and there for certain players. They have to be willing to do it. And that the hard part is the Celtics are young, and Tatum and Brown are young. And 23 and 24-year-olds, not as willing to sacrifice parts of their game. Not saying that to blame them. I'm just saying that is just a matter of fact. Like the Celtics big three with Pierce, the new big three with Pierce, Ray Allen, and Garnett worked right away because they were older and they had gone through a lot more and they knew that they could sacrifice. They had nothing left to prove. They had nothing left to prove. They'd made their money. They'd made their endorsements. At this point, they had nothing left but to win a championship. The Miami Heat big three with LeBron and Bosch and Wade struggled at first. They were still feeling their way through the NBA. They were still, like, at that point, LeBron had not won a championship. And, like, but he was young and he was starting to get criticized for things. And Bosch was in Toronto and he had a reputation. And, you know, there were dynamics at play where guys were still trying to find their actual place in the NBA and with each other. So there was an initial kind of like struggle, right? It's just tougher with younger players. That is in the NBA, there's a lot to prove. There's money to be made. There's, you know, whatever people's priorities are, they are. I'm not going to put it on any one guy, two guys, three guys, whatever. And it's certainly not a criticism of Tatum or Brown specifically. They're just young. And this is just where they are in their minds, in their lives, in their development. You know, Jason Tatum just got left off the All-NBA team. And he says he thinks he should have made it. Of course he thinks he should have made it. And it cost him money. It cost him $30+ million. You know, Jaylen Brown wants to be, you know, bigger and better. He wants to make an All-NBA team. He wants to start on the All-Star game. He has things that he wants to prove. So that is somewhere in their minds. They still have their next contracts to deal with. You know, those guys have two more huge contracts ahead of them. That's part of the business. That's part of the mentality. And sacrificing too much puts a little too much in jeopardy. That is true of every player their age. Some guys might be a little more willing to do it than others. Some guys might feel better about it than others. Some guys don't care about that stuff. Some guys care about it too much. That's just the reality of being a young, up-and-coming NBA player. The key is, how does Ime Udoka get these guys to sacrifice just enough to work well together and make that work? You got to remember, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, they'd already won by that point. They'd been there. They'd done that. So they knew. They were in that Pierce, Ray Allen, KG mold. And they used to be a defensive-minded team. Then they switched to the offensive side, and they're like, you know what? The players that we have now, this is how we're going to do it. And they said, we'll make it work. Tony Parker said, yeah, I'm going to make it work. Manu, Tim Duncan, selfless, especially at that point in their careers. So we'll see. All right, that's a mailbag. Put a wrap on that. Thank you very much for all of your questions. I will try to do it in a different space. Maybe, you know, I've done a YouTube live. Maybe I'll do one of those again. Or I keep putting the questions out on Twitter. It's very easy for me to do that, but not everybody listens to Twitter or is on Twitter. Good for you. Twitter is a tough place sometimes, but I'll find out other places. Maybe I'll put an Instagram question out there, or maybe I'll just put a special YouTube video out or something. I don't know. But next time, we'll do it a little differently. Thank you for your questions. Thank you, everyone who has subscribed to the podcast, listening to it, wherever you're listening to it. Thank you very, very much. YouTube subscribers have been awesome. That channel is going really well. Continue. If you're new here, please subscribe. Monday through Friday, daily Celtics videos, Monday through Friday. So subscribe, like, comment, all of that stuff that you're supposed to do. But more importantly than all of that is share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.